Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. And now, here's the country doctor with a city education, Dr. Mike.
Can acidic foods negatively affect your body, your cells, and your tissues? And if so, how is that really happening, and what are some of the things we can do to protect ourselves? My guest is Dr. Jonathan Aviv. He's a clinical professor and attending physician in the Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. Dr. Aviv has been in New York Magazine's Best Doctors really since about 1998, based on my research, and was listed one of the best doctors in America between like 2004 and 2013. So he has some great credentials. He's appeared on Good Morning America, The Dr. Oz Show, The Discovery Channel. Dr. Aviv, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mike.
So let's do this first. Let's make sure my listeners understand what we mean by acid-base chemistry. Can you just give us, in like 1 minute, which is really tough, what we're talking about here when we talk about acid-base?
Right. What we mean is materials, typically foods, since we're going to be talking about foods, that have an acidic or an alkaline feel. What that means is typically you want to be right around neutral. But on either side of neutral, foods will be either more acidic or less acidic. And if they're less acidic, it's called alkaline. If they're more acidic, they're called very acidic. So it's just a measure of relative acidity in the body. It's an acid-base balance of sorts.
So if I look, okay, so let's take the cells versus the bloodstream versus the gut. When we talk about changes in acid-base, you know, balance, are we talking about something occurring within the cell, within the bloodstream, or within the gut?
Right. Well, that's a very important point, because that is mistaken so often, especially when you hear about the alkaline ash diets, where people say lemon is very good for you or vinegar is very good for you because it alkalizes the body. Now, really, the body's acid-base balance is determined in the blood. And almost anything you eat or drink will not really affect your blood body chemistry. You'd have to be very, very sick to alter that. And people say, well, if you measure the acidity of the urine with a dipstick, that tells you what's going on in the blood. That is just not the case. So what you're referring to and we're going to be discussing is really the effect of certain types of food, acid or not, on, you call it the gut, it may even be beyond the gut, maybe on other tissues in the body, and that's what a lot of people don't realize. And conceptually, I think of it as the stomach is connected to other parts of the body.
Okay, I think this is important. I think you're right, because there is a lot of misunderstanding. You know, technically, if you get too acidic in your bloodstream, that's metabolic acid. That's not a good thing. That tells us there might be something wrong with the kidneys.
Sick. Exactly right. You're so sick. I mean, if those pH numbers change by, you know, a tenth of a decimal point, you become very, very sick. On the other side, right, with diabetes, you can get very, very sick. So that's something that for some reason has caught on, especially on the web, and it's just gone places, which, I mean, since when is a urine dipstick a measure of what goes on in the blood? I don't even understand how that happened. I mean, I sort of get it, but that's not what happens. And in the examples we're going to be discussing, I'll point out very, very clearly what happened when acid goes where it shouldn't go.
Well, let's just do that. Let's talk about, so if I'm eating acidic food, what's actually happening to my body, my cells, my tissues?
Okay, so in my new health and wellness book called Killing Me Softly from Inside, which is available on Amazon, I describe the effect acidic foods have on the body. And very simply, think of acidic foods as causing a burn. A burn then causes tissue swelling, and then tissue swelling can cause numbness or lack of sensation. And when tissues are numb or lacking sensitivity, bad things can happen. I'll give you a perfect example. Let's say you're numb in the throat or the vocal cord region. What happens? If you're numb in the throat, you can't really feel things, so your risk for choking, the technical term we use is aspiration, is much higher if you're drinking or eating something and food will go down the wrong way if you can't feel things normally. And swelling in this region will cause things that are very, very common, such as chronic cough, hoarseness, a lump-like sensation in the throat, frequent throat clearing. In fact, you know, the symptoms I'm describing, a lot of people, a lot of your listeners may say, oh my God, that's post-nasal drip. Well, is it really post-nasal drip? What's actually happening is that the normal amount of mucus we're producing, say, in the nose or sinuses, instead of being swallowed, is not able to be swallowed easily because there's swelling in the throat tissues coming from another area. And in the case of acid can actually come up from the stomach and cause this burn that I'm talking about. And, you know, you mentioned the gut at the top of the show. Well, in addition to the throat, what's near the throat? Well, the lungs. And acid hitting the sensitive lung tissues can cause swelling of the lung tissues. It can trigger asthma, contribute to chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And most people believe almost all lung disease is worsened by untreated or insufficiently treated acid reflux disease. So at the same time, though, if you treat this, you can often improve lung function.
So Dr. Aviv, you focus a lot then on the upper respiratory tract, the upper GI tract.
Right.
What now? But when you go online and you read about acid base in the body, acid base balance, a lot of people talk about cancer, muscle wasting when you eat acidic diets. What do you think about that stuff?
Well, again, it depends on where you're talking. I like you very much believe in the importance of reducing what they call oxidative stress. And there's no question that certain areas of inflammation, no matter where they are in the body, will predispose to certain types of cancer. And one of the best examples and one of the clearest examples is, and it dovetails very nicely with this whole inflammation theory and acid, is acid coming up and irritating the esophagus, which is the organ that connects the stomach to the throat. And it's been shown very, very clearly scientifically that repeated inflammation and acid exposure in that area will transform those tissues into precancer and then often cancer cells under the right circumstances. So while that's a very literal example, to extend it to other areas of the body, you'd have to think about this whole concept of oxidative stress and increasing reducing inflammation. And I do believe that reducing inflammation wherever you can is critical in reducing oxidative stress and therefore in preventing malignancy.
Okay. Real quick, we have about 60 seconds left. What are some of the top acidic foods that we probably need to be avoiding?
Right. The citrus is extremely acidic. Vinegar is extremely acidic. Now, those are healthy, so people get upset about it. But one area where people should really not negotiate what I call a non-negotiable is soda. Sugary sodas are the most acidic substances a human being can consume.
I'll tell you what, Dr. Aviv, let's leave that there. When we come back, we'll finish this list. We'll talk about alkaline foods, and then we'll move into the effect in the upper GI with heartburn and stuff. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.